Item 4 is an application for a rezoning for 721 Oxford Street under file DAZ 201-2008. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following item will also be heard. Item 5 is an application for a variance for 721 Oxford Street under file DAV 104282 of 2008D. Madam Chairperson, this is in your area, so Councilor Gervasi is in the chair.
Geez, like old times already.
There you go.
Okay. So we're ready to start here in support. I have to read the instructions. I don't know how to do it without the instructions. Okay. The applicant, is this the applicant here? Amber Visser and Steve Visser?
I'm Amber.
Oh, okay. And, well, you're, wait, the app, you're.
Marcia
Malik is the applicant. Okay, you can come forward. Thanks. And then we do have some people in opposition as well. So we'll start with the applicant.
Well, I guess I'm not sure where to start, but myself and Amber Ziver, we're looking to rezone 721 Oxford into a massage therapy clinic. We are looking to have the three rooms that are on the main floor as the rooms that will be used as massage therapy rooms. I'm not sure what else I should go into in terms of details.
Well, did you want to say something, Brenda?
Well,
go ahead.
When questions come, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I guess basically anyone in support has a chance to come forward and explain why, you know, this is an appropriate, why you think this should be allowed or whatever. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have much, you know, whatever you have
to
say.
Well, I can go and more into what we're looking at doing. We are looking at putting a solid fence on the south side of the property with wheelchair accessibility, of course. We're looking at taking down the garage, the double car garage, off the parking, off the back lane, and creating parking space, which would allow for at least four vehicles there. I guess that should be...
Okay, and the other thing is the way the process works is that anyone in support can come forward or just be registered in support. If they can speak or just be registered, whichever they prefer. And then we will hear from anyone who's in opposition, and they'll have a chance to speak. And then you, as the applicant, can come back and you can rebut anything that you've heard the people in opposition say. So you can't bring a whole bunch of new stuff at that point, but you can respond to the issues they've raised.
Okay.
And that's basically the process. And then when we close off public representation and we discuss it and no more public commentary. So this is your chance to sort of give us whatever you think we need to know, and then we'll listen to the people in opposition. We'll have a chance to come back and respond to what they say. Okay.
Could I ask some questions?
And yet there can be questions too. I was just, as soon as she's,
okay.
I was just going to see if she was had anything she wanted to add. And then you can come up after, like, you're all together,
we're
you want to come
yeah,
up at the same time?
Sure,
why don't you come and just say whatever you have to say, and then
sure.
We have questions as well.
And fire away with questions, would be great.
Okay, you want to have the questions first?
Sure.
Okay,
my first question is, you mentioned two names of massage therapists?
Yes, myself and Amber Ziver.
So there would only be two massage therapists?
We are the only two that will own the business. We will have other massage therapists that will be working out of this space.
How many would be working at any one time?
At any one time, we would be using three rooms, which would be three therapists at one time.
So there would be three therapists. You would expect three cars maybe visiting and parking in the back?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't envision them, they can't park on the street.
They can't park on the ground.
Yeah, that's to address certainly your question in regards to the public traffic. That was certainly one of the key things we wanted to address. And due to the main entrance of the business being restricted to Grant, it wouldn't limit any type of human traffic as well as intentional vehicle traffic on any imposing street. Oxford, even
traffic. You mean people?
I'm sure that's what it means.
One of the concerns that you may hear shortly is the proximity of one of the entrances to one of the neighboring homes. And by limiting the business's access to the Grant Street access, will actually probably, in the event, decrease the amount of traffic that's seen to the neighboring. Owners obviously would have used multiple entrances to the home, and that this way would limit
the front door.
And of course, a fire emergency exit in the back door, but not in public use. So that certainly, I think, addresses maybe some of the concerns that I come forward.
So three massage therapists, and you don't foresee park problems. What hours would you be working?
Well, right now we are determining if we could start at 8 a.m. till 9 p.m. Monday to Fridays, and then Saturdays starting at around 9 to maybe, we were thinking 5 or 6 in the evening, and then the church has requested that we don't start any earlier than 2 o'clock on Sunday. At this time, the two of us, neither one of us works on Sundays or the weekends, so there shouldn't be a lot of traffic on a Saturday or Sunday.
So if you were there, it would be 2 p.m. on Sunday?
Yes.
2 p.m.
No sooner than 2 p.m.
Have you consulted with the neighborhood and gone door to door? You mentioned the church.
We have.
We have spoken to the neighbors up and down the street.
The ones that we did get a hold of and we did contact. We do have, I believe, 9 signatures from that street. I've gone to the Bethesda Church and spoke to the senior pastor there, and he's in agreement with it. I have talked to the Canadian Auto Workers corporate building to the west of us, the Shell station across the street, and Rishik Realty as well, and the neighbors that we did get in contact with up and down the street on Oxford.
That's good.
Glenn, I just wanted to hear your opinion. You have your hand up, or
yeah.
Is that the chair that's supposed to recognize you? I don't know what I'm...
Oh, yeah. Well, did you have something at this point you wanted to interject? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. The letter of intent submitted by the applicant states it would be a, and I quote, single business occupancy involving 4 to 5 full-time therapists.
Involving
4 to 5 full-time therapists.
Okay, I thought it was.
And
two.
I'd like to clarify that when we are only going to have 3 rooms in operation, but you can't work an 8 to 10 hour day as a massage therapist. You only see about 5 people a day due to your longevity of the day. So one room can have 2 therapists working out of it the same day. I may start working 9 to 2, and someone can work 2 to 6. So that's why there may be that many therapists. And you, what you clarify as a full-time therapist isn't a 40-hour work week in massage therapy. Yeah. It's much less. It's more of a 5-day work week makes you a full-time therapist. So there can be 5 therapists out of the 3 rooms, just not all working at once.
But 3 therapists.
3 at a time.
At a time.
3 rooms, yes. 3 therapists only at a time, because otherwise there's no room for the other therapist to be in.
Okay, good. And do you have any other questions, Councilor Webster?
No, I think right now,
okay.
One of the other things maybe I'd point out is just in selecting the property that was purchased, we obviously considered proximity of similar businesses within the community.
Commercial,
even massage therapy business as well, too. And I think as this business is proposed for this area, when you get in certain areas of Winnipeg, you have a fairly condensed region, and you can pile sometimes businesses. Look at the proximity of where this is set up. You have to travel down Grant all the way to Kinniston before you meet another massage therapist. You have to travel to Pembina Highway and South before you meet the next. And really, it's not a location that really is, in our opinion, going to overflow the area. And certainly with the Pan Am Clinic and the Pan Am Pool and in close proximity, there certainly is a service that could accommodate.
Okay.
We also did want to mention that for the exterior of the building, we have no intent of making it a commercial type setting. It's going to stay as a residential building. We're not changing any of the landscaping or the siding of the building. We'll have a sign frontage on Grant only, nothing on the side streets. So it shouldn't depend on any of the neighboring houses.
Unless, of course, whatever is stipulated by the city, i.e.
a fence,
wheelchair ramp.
Yeah.
So
So then the signage has to comply with the city requirements plan?
Yeah, well, I'm recommending a condition of a zoning agreement would be a plan approval by the Director of Planning, Property and Development, and that would involve signs, building exterior, and in the recommendations and discussion section, we talk about compatibility, garbage enclosures, and putting a sign on the south door saying no entry or something like that. Illumination as well, that would be restricted to possibly the north face, if at all allowed. Maintain the general residential character of the building. 6.5 foot high fence extending from the back lane to the beginning of the front yard, then it has to go down to 4 feet. Solid fence.
Okay. Anything else you wish to add, anybody? And like I said, the applicant has the opportunity to come back up if there's anything you want to respond to that anyone in opposition said. Any other questions, anybody? Okay, thank you very much. Fred Young.
I'd like to follow.
You'll follow. Fred and Gina Scaramuzzi.
You'll notice a Fred trend.
Yeah, there's a lot of Freds. My God, everybody talking to this it's just strange to see you here as in delegation.
I feel strange being here.
I thought you were here to set up AV equipment. Okay.
I just feel strange.
Thank you.
Strange to see
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay.
You heard that, eh?
So this is your Gina Scaramuzzi.
Yeah, I'm Gina Scaramuzzi. I live right next door at 725 Oxford Street.
Oh, thank God someone named Ted is registered. There's three Freds. Okay.
He's still going. And actually, I've been registered as opposed to this rezoning. And I just received the information today at noon, so I apologize if I'm not as well prepared as I hope to be. But for the first subject, which is to vary it from residential to commercial, I did take a look at the plan 2020, and one of the things it says is that to manage neighborhood traffic, the city shall manage neighborhood traffic to support the primary function of local streets in providing access to local residents by encouraging the minimization of through traffic and working to reduce the impact of non-local traffic in neighborhoods. Oxford is a busy street. A lot of cars jet through on Mathers to kind of circumvent the Waverly. Having a parking lot in the back with the only access being Grant will not only cause congestion sort of in the back lane, but also when they pull out onto Grant, there is no left turns that can be made heading east on Grant. So if they need to go back to the south end of the city, they can't actually make a U-turn until Grant and Harrow. And so they're going to be using the back lane as well as the front street to end up going south on Waverly. There's no way of them coming back around. So definitely I think that there is going to be the traffic area. It's sort of kind of more global from that. The community has a need for residential properties. We have lots of commercial space that's available for rent. River Heights is a highly desirable neighborhood. There were three other offers from other people who wanted to purchase this home, and there were all multiple offers over the asking price, and there was a large number of people interested in this open house. And I think that the need for residential homes should supersede that of somebody who wants to purchase it for profit. There is currently available retail space in the neighborhood. There is also, contrary to sort of what the applicant said, they had mentioned a need for massage therapists in the area. However, just by doing a quick Yellow Pages search and using Google Maps, I found a total of 42 massage therapists businesses within a 3.6 kilometer radius of 721 Oxford. And Google Maps indicates that's a 7-minute drive. There was 12 massage therapists less than 3 minutes away. So they're all listed here. And I know there's new ones kind of opening up all the time. I just don't really think that there is a need for a massage therapy clinic at this time, whereas there is a great need for residential homes. Sort of kind of bringing it into a more local aspect to our neighborhood. Attached is a petition that I went to the neighbors with on Saturday. I was hopeful that I would receive the report earlier that would outline the hours of operation and the massage, the number of therapists. However, I didn't receive that until today at noon. And so I really didn't feel prepared sort of talking to the neighbors because I knew that the applicants had canvassed the neighborhood and had received some signatures. However, you'll even note on the bottom of the first page of the petition to oppose rezoning that one of the residents at 813 Oxford Street commented that not what I was originally told. There was a lot of confusion in the neighbors. Some neighbors thought that they would just be living in the house and working in the home. A lot of neighbors thought that it was just going to be the two of them and they would have parking and there would be no issues. On the applicant application today, it says to have up to 5 full-time therapists. Now I'm hearing 3 full-time therapists with some overlap. Regardless, it's still going to create a 13-hour work day with 3 therapists working is 39 people coming in and out of that home. The human traffic as well as the vehicular traffic is going to be great. The neighbors don't want to increase that with more commercial property, as well as the long-term implications. Once this is zoned commercial, we don't know what is going to come next, and we don't know what type of property is going to come next. So there's definitely a real concern from all of the neighbors. And, you know, we want neighbors. When I purchased this home in 2001, we had a lovely couple. They, you know, picked up our mail. We watered their tomatoes. That's what neighbors do. There was no indication that this was going to be anything but a residential home. The lot is very small. It's 42 feet wide. Their house is 6 feet from our fence. And I've attached just a photo that I took from my kitchen window. This is inside my home. It's not even outside. And you'll have it attached on the back page there.
Oh.
And basically you can see, I can see in their bedroom window, their bathroom, and their kitchen, especially when I'm outside. From inside my home, I can see in the bedroom, which now means they can see me. Which is fine when it's neighbors, because you trust them, you know them. But it's not fine when it's 39 strangers coming and going. So when it states that there is no sort of negative impact on the, you know, B says, does not create a substantial adverse effect on the amenities, use, safety, and convenience of the adjoining property and adjacent area, I don't agree with that. I mean, this is going to create a huge adverse effect, both on the people who are there, the hours. If they're open till 9 o'clock, that means that there's going to be staff leaving later, cleaners, snow clearing. The variance is sort of kind of even more so because you can see from this area, the garage, they want to have a complete parking pad right up until my fence. That's my yard, like my kids play there. So now I'm going to be having the cars running and the pollution going and the noise and the strangers, and I definitely think that it has an effect not only on me, but on the entire street. They indicate that a 6.5-foot fence will solve the problem. Currently there is a 6-foot fence. It doesn't solve the problem. We can hear the neighbors, we can see the neighbors. A 6.5-foot fence is not going to prevent us from seeing or hearing cars parked or seeing people coming and going. And, you know, it's also going to decrease the value of our property because now we are going to be beside a commercial property, which therefore, you know, other families are not going to want to move in. I wouldn't have, if I knew that this was going to happen, I would have never purchased the home to raise a family. And I guess, you know, you're the counselors who are responsible really for us, right, the citizens. And I just think that when community citizens want to raise their families, that should have an additional impact. And that should be valued more so than someone who just wants to come into our neighborhood for profit. We are the ones who live in our area, who give to our community, and I think we should be entitled to neighbors and not a bunch of strangers.
Thank you very much. Is there any questions that anyone has? Okay, thank you very much for your presentation.
Thanks.
Appreciate that.
Fred Chernoff, did you wish to speak? Or just, you wish to speak? Thank you. Oh, you're registered for information here. Did you want to be support Fred Chernoff?
I beg your pardon again.
I said Fred, everyone's named Fred here. Is your name Fred Chernoff?
Right.
Yeah, okay. And you're registered for information.
Information, and of course, I have a decision that is the information that I received from the PAC. So I'm really opposed.
Would you like to be switched to opposed on here?
If I have to switch it.
Well, if you're going to speak right now, you do. I can leave you to the end. But if you are opposed, whatever you actually are, okay, then you can speak as an opposition. Thank you.
And the reason why I'm opposed is because I didn't have the information. And I just got it a little while ago, and I had no idea that it's going to be turned into a business area, a commercial piece of property. Initially, I had a nice visit from one of the gals, and she inquired about this and that, and I talked about parking, that parking's going to be a problem. We had problems of parking, of traffic before. People off Waverly would take shortcuts and so parking has been a problem in the past. So anyway, she asked questions of what we thought of it. And I thought, well, perhaps if, you know, somebody wants to start up a little business, like we have a couple of businesses in Cambridge, one's an Inuit clothing maker, another one looks after clothes as well. And I thought maybe they're going to live in and they're going to have a little business in there. Well, that's the way of our life. You know, change is with us. We have to accept that. And as the city, one has to allow a certain amount of things. But when I found out that there's going to be strictly commercial, not only I began to think more, but a neighbor of mine who I talked to previously didn't mind it. He didn't mind somebody coming in there and doing a little business because it'd be convenient for his wife to go and get her massage or whatever service would be. But when I told my neighbor a little more about this information, and he says, when you go to the hearing, would you ask this question? But in case the people that purchased, that want to start this business change, is it going to automatically revert to a dwelling? And I couldn't tell him yes or no, so I'm asking you.
We can ask the planner that question right now if you want, or we can wait till you're finished talking.
Without planner's input, I mean, if you sell, if I come along.
No, I'm saying we could try to answer your question as to what happens.
But legally, you can. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, we can tell you.
Legally, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Once it.
Like, if this rezoning is approved, I think your question is, if this is approved, and then these people sell it to somebody else, does it revert back to residential?
Yeah.
And the answer is
no.
No, it doesn't.
It'll stay C1.
Once it's gone, it's gone.
Once the zoning is changed to C1. Which is commercial zoning, it stays commercial zoning at that, the same type of zoning, unless somebody comes and tries to rezone it again, and this same type of lengthy process. So it doesn't revert back, is what the answer is.
That's
your question.
That's the answer that I would take to my neighbor and tell him this is what's going to happen. It takes place. And so basically I have fears that we could have a problem, not only immediate problem, but in the future, because just directly opposite of me, there was a store there, which should have never been in there. And the people were floundering, and they knew people would buy it and try to start their business. They wouldn't do the lawn. For the last 10 years, the neighbors had to do that, their back lawn. And it creates all kinds of problems because the business is not there. Now, he's free to sell it. Now, these folks, I wish them all the luck that there is in order to have a successful business. But if they decided tomorrow to sell, and if they get approval for the rezoning and it becomes a commercial piece of property, I would wonder what would happen to the price of that piece of property. I would just wonder. I'd have to ask a real estate. I'm sure that it's a win-win situation for these folks, and that's a nice position to be in, and if they get the proper authority. So I've lived 35 years on Oxford Street. I'm 80 years of age, and I don't like change. I don't know about you, sir. And it's hard, but we must accept change as well. But the people have their say, and once they get all the information, they have to make a decision. And I thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak.
Thank you very much. Any questions, counselors? Okay.
I have a question that I guess it's similar to yours. If am I to understand, I guess it's more for the planner, sir, but it's part of where you were going. This property has been bought by the applicants.
Yes.
They own it. And if they don't get this rezoning,
then it's limited to R1 uses.
Which means residential.
Yeah, almost completely residential with a few non-residential uses.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Appreciate your presentation.
Thank you, sir. Next, we've got Fred Young.
Another Fred.
And I feel like I'm in some alternate dimensions.
This is very
Fred Young does our auto visual equipment here. He works here, so it's just kind of weird to see you as a citizen coming forward. You have every right.
Thank you. As you can tell, I don't live in the area. I have moved to White Ridge, but my father lives in the area, and I lived for 35 years, I guess, on the street. He still lives there, so I'm there every night, every second night or so. There's a reason why this house has been residential for 50 years or so since it was built, is that it fits in with the neighborhood. It is a house. It's a residence. The only problem is the house faces Grant Avenue. So some people didn't like living there, but the families did live. The ones that did live in there used to live in there like 20, 25, 30 years because it's a residential area. I want to touch on a couple of the things. If they remove the garage, they put in a parking lot, they're paving paradise, put in this parking lot. I would not want to be the neighbor who did speak, having a parking lot right beside my residential fence where my children are playing. Because it does say a south yard with zero. Okay, no south side yard. The house is strange on the lot. No south side yard. I mean, they will be parking their cars right beside a house where they have children. The gentleman that came up as the applicant said that there won't be pedestrian traffic because the front entrance is going to be facing Grant Avenue. Well, Grant Avenue is a no-stopping anytime zone. So the pedestrian traffic has to come from Oxford Street. There is no other street that they can park on. If they use the 4 parking spaces in the back and they have 11 or 12 clients, there will be a minimum of 7 cars for the people that are the clients parked on Oxford. Before they leave, an additional 7 clients is going to come. So you now have 14 or 15 cars parked on Oxford Street from Grant Avenue south down. So there will be pedestrian and there will be vehicular traffic. Other than that, the fact that it is injurious to the health and the well-being of the residents within that area. The only other points that I can make is that, of course, the Shell station on one corner, Rusty Ristchuk Park Realty on one corner, Canadian Auto Workers on another corner, of course they won't complain because those are all commercial establishments. But those have been commercial establishments since I can remember, from maybe the age of 6 or 7, they always used to be service stations, or Rusty Ristchuk used to be a bank, or the Canadian Auto Workers was a Texaco service station at one time. So there was that residential house right there because it filled in with the rest of Oxford Street, with the rest of Cambridge. The church has been there forever, and the other businesses have been there forever, simply because when Grant Avenue was built, and when Waverly was built to go into that area, they went in brand new. I used to visit the area, I guess, when I was 5. So it's been 46 years of being familiar with the area. You don't want to put another business there. It, the application says that they want to have 5 full-time people using the 3 rooms upstairs. But, well, they say using 3 rooms upstairs, but you don't say that in print. It says it could be 5 full-time therapists. They could legally have 5 people working there full-time because you have it in writing. And no matter what the applicant says, oh, we're going to have 3 or we're going to have 2, we'll have 1 and they're going to go from room to room to room, you're opening up the Pandora's box so they can have whatever they want, up to 5 workers in here. There is a full basement that they can put rooms in as well. Other than that, the petition, she had very little time to go around, and I know that everybody that she saw was against converting this house from residential to commercial. It doesn't belong.
Go ahead, Council Edson.
Mr. Young, when did the residents find out that this was happening? The possibility, were there any permit signs?
Yes, there was a permit sign up. I actually only noticed the permit sign about 6-7 days ago. It's on the fence, facing Grant, but you're driving 50 kilometers an hour down Grant.
It's one of the little ones.
No, it's a large one.
A larger one?
Yeah. But unless you stop in the no stopping zone and read it, you don't know.
The clerk, do you have some information about that? That's a copy of the notice.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No.
The process doesn't work that way, but apologies. You have to make it when you're up here. Okay.
Yeah, there is definitely the sign up there.
Okay. There was a sign up to read the information within the...
You have to park on Oxford Street, walk back. And
did it have all these facts and figures that you're talking about?
No.
So you didn't have all the information?
The only thing I really noticed was like the for sale sign went up. It was gone very, very quickly, which is typical for River Heights. And then next thing I noticed was the lights were on late at night because people were inside painting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, are there any other questions, Councilor Leipzig?
No.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. It's been a wonderful experience.
Mr. Young.
I do appreciate it, and hopefully it will be my
I hope you'll be pleasant tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. And then the last... sheet I have for those, I have one more person in opposition, or one, James and Ted Griffith. So you're here for information, so you're not here to speak? Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else who wants to speak in opposition who didn't register or has not yet spoken? Okay, the applicant now has Marcia. You now have the opportunity to come up and speak. Respond to anything that was said by the people in opposition, if you wish.
Certainly.
So, just come up. Does it matter? Yeah, anyone, any of you can come up, apparently, because you're all considered the applicant.
We're all the owners.
You're all the owners, so, okay, that's fine. And this is the last, once this, you people speak, then we'll close delegations. So there's no more opportunity to argue back and forth.
Might as well start from the latest as soon as...
No.
Okay, we'll go from the beginning then. Certainly, with regards to the first concerns from Gina, who's the closest neighbor of proximity, it, of course, would be our intent that we would become the neighbor, not the business owner. We are both families. The 7.5, the 6-foot fence to 6.5-foot fence, certainly we are abiding by the city's recommendations. We're going to accommodate whatever the city instructs us to do in that nature, and certainly that would be one of the things that we've been told. And with regards to parking in proximity to playing children in their backyard, I guess I would love to have the black horse maybe draw out the properties themselves. you could picture the east-west lots running between Oxford and the back lane. The far west end, where our existing garage is also the exact location of the neighbor's garage. Our intent wouldn't be to have the vehicles parking directly in their backyard, so to speak. Of course, a solid fence can create as much noise and dampness as you could, but we can't, again, if you want to address the issue, for sure, but we would not be parking, or we wouldn't have the intent of parking the vehicle certainly right up against the fence. And of course, we're going to take into consideration what the neighbors are requesting, or we're going to be certainly, certainly helping out in that issue. So that would be my first address there, is with regards to children in the area. That's the number one priority as well, too, because, you know, we're on parents as well, too. So that's one issue. Did you have anything on the fence at all as well? You or Marcy?
I don't think so. I think they said with vehicles running and pollution. When people come for a massage, they come for an hour. Even in minus 30 weather, we don't need to leave our vehicle running for that hour. It's going to be fine an hour later, so there isn't going to be a running of vehicles and the increase in pollution. It's going to be no different than the traffic going up and down Grant. It's not going to increase any of that pollution. And right next to, across the back lane, is the Canadian Auto Workers parking lot, which has about 15 spots of its own, which they knowingly knew that that was there when they did move into the neighborhood. So we're no different than that. And then the church also, on Sundays, and I was talking to the pastor as well, some Friday and Saturdays they have functions, and I understand that all of Oxford is taken up by the church because their parking lot is overflowing, and he told me himself that he would rather us not be open on Sunday to leave Oxford Street parking for the church, which we are fine with. So I think if we did have a couple of people parking on Oxford, we're not the same as the 15 that may be parking there from the church functions. So I just feel a little bit discriminated against having them being so concerned about that issue.
Business proximity, 2.6 kilometers, 7-minute drive. 7 minutes is a long way in the city. You can get a far away of 7 minutes. And certainly 42 therapists in the area is something to address. But as we all know, it's a growing profession. It's a very well-respected profession in the city. And you know, just like a chiropractic business, a physiotherapy business, there's certainly going to be a lot of them around. And certainly,
I'm sorry. You want to ask a question when you're finished?
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
After
you're
I wanted to add something to that, too.
Sure.
Myself and Amber, we have been therapists for 8 to 9 years now and have an established clientele which live in that area, which is one of the main reasons that we were looking in that neighborhood to open up a massage therapy clinic. It's an area that is very convenient for them to get to, that we wanted to make sure that it was the convenience for them to be able to offer our services, and by all means offer the people on Oxford as well the opportunity to walk to get a massage therapy treatment if they so desired.
I guess to look at Gina's comment just about looking at more of a global aspect and Plan 2020, and being someone who loves to read, I did go through, and there are some features of Plan 2020 that are very challenging for this city to reach, and I guess one of the things that I would like to address, certainly, with regards to developing areas that best suit neighborhoods, certainly residential is a big part of it. Certain areas like different areas of Winnipeg have certainly a lot of different, directions that they're wanting to see Winnipeg go. And I guess the proposed business that we're having, I don't think conflicts with Plan 2020, by the way that I read it, that's more of a personal, obviously, reading of it. And so I don't think it comes into play right now. Certainly residential is a big part of it, but that business, our business proposition for that location, I don't think impedes anything that is in the plan currently. Back lane congestion, Grant and Oxford, certainly we have the existing businesses that are there right now in that area. The goal of the parking lot right next to Grant is certainly the intent of limiting any back lane traffic. We certainly would want to certainly by having the back lane parking lot right off the Grant, it restricts anyone or the clients from even getting onto Oxford. And then certainly that would be something that the business owners would want to have there. The word profit came up a couple of times in the opponents, and I guess they would prefer to have someone who would come into the neighborhood to be a resident versus someone coming to the neighborhood for profit. And it came up twice. Fred second, or sorry, Fred number one, as well as Nina. And the intent here, as business, as homeowners in Winnipeg, we're all in for profit because we've had a phenomenal increase in home retail prices in Winnipeg. And our intent here wasn't to take the property on for profit. It's to, again, build a business that could certainly support the community. And I see that as, you know, certainly not what the intent is. If it was for property or for profit, you could have seen someone come in and purchase it.
Got it,
paint it, and sell it.
And flip it.
Not the intent of our business. We're, I think, very respected entrepreneurs, and our goal here is to become the neighbor next door, not the person that lives at the end of Oxford.
And it's a small business. We're not going to be hiring cleaning companies. We're not going to be hiring lawn maintenance. No one will be made to have that parking lot properly cleaned. We may not need to be able to shovel it. But we're going to be out there planting flowers and making our yard look pretty for our clients and for us to be proud of it. That's our business. We want people to respect it and think well of it. We're not just the business at the end of the street.
But it's really, first and foremost, number one, it's the neighbor right next door, which is Gina and her husband and family, and certainly we're addressing that. So I think other than that, the photo of her house would be interesting because the houses are, I didn't see it, but... certainly, that means they can see into the existing property. The existing property would be the kitchen. No activity in the kitchen. The back door would be emergency exit only. The bathroom. The bathroom can be a closed window with frost. And the bedroom, that window could be...
Well, we don't want someone looking into that room when someone's having a massage either. So we would never have those windows open, ever. So I can't see that being possible.
Yes. Anything we have, sir, I just have a note here with regards to family and property. Fred's.
I know that there was made note that they didn't see the sign in the proper amount of time or only 6 days ago. We followed the city stipulations of having the signage up 14 days prior to this meeting. We have put the sign where they requested it, which was facing Grant. We were not requested to put it on the side yard facing Oxford, because that is not where the majority of the frontage is. So we've followed city stipulations. We've not been trying to hide the sign or not let people see it. That is where we were asked to put it, so that's what we have done.
That's pretty sad, too.
I even contacted Michelle Hamburg, who is the zoning officer that we've been dealing with, to tell her that we did attach the sign to the fence, and if there were any issues with that, to contact me right away and let me know if it needed to be moved.
And I had also called Gina myself personally 2 days before the sign went up to let her be aware that the sign will be going up and the process that is going to be ahead.
Value problem.
And as far as the neighbors, it's going to be a lot of he said, she said. We're hearing back that they said they were misinformed, and we're going to rebut that back saying, at the time we did, the property was purchased on the 13th of January. On the 9th of January, we went up and down the street to get the general feel from the neighborhood to see what they would, how they felt about it. We had said to ourselves, if everybody's against it, we're not going to do this. We're not coming in to interrupt a neighborhood. So the general feel from the people that were home at the time were like, yeah, as long as it's respectable, it's not a parlor, is it? And we said, well, of course not. We're licensed remedial massage therapists with full training and education, and we've been established for 10 years. And they said, yeah. By all means, I think that might be a great asset. It's right on Grant, and a lot of people did comment that this house was flipped 3 to 4 times in the past. Now, that's just hear information from some neighbors. So knowing that this house has been sold so many times, a lot of the neighbors said, well, it doesn't really seem desirable for a family because the front yard is on Grant and no one with kids would. So they said, yeah, by all means, that does kind of sound like a good idea. But again, we're going to have a lot of he said, she said. They may go to the neighbors and say, oh, I didn't say that. So I'm just telling you what our feel was from the neighborhood, because we didn't even put an offer in until we went up and down and did contact as many as we could. And we went on 2 separate occasions to catch the people
many people did you catch at home, and were they any people on these lists here?
We don't know who's on that list to be able to compare.
Everybody we did talk to, we gave a business card to with our phone number and told them to call and ask any questions or concerns that they had before the Sunday of offers so that we knew where we stood in the neighborhood.
So before you purchased the house,
yeah,
you didn't get one person in opposition?
We had two. One of them was Gina.
And that was just the Sunday at 2 o'clock when I had stopped in there.
And the other one was one of the Teds. Fred's. Sorry. Yes, I believe
that.
So what we would have to do is probably compare the addresses to
Gina. No,
I'm just
right
curious,
next
roughly.
And Fred is on the opposite side of the street.
About three houses away.
Three houses down, I believe.
Okay.
I was just curious, roughly, how many people you would have seen.
I've
2 days and you have two people in opposition.
And I've probably seen about 10 to 12 that I talked to on my side of the street.
I would say probably about 8 to 10 on the side that I had done.
But the person right next door was
opposed, yes.
Which is fairly
significant.
Yes.
Expected as well, any change. And that's sort of some of the considerations in doing this. And this has come up too, is also from thread 2, and talking about this is a house and it fits in as a house. That's come up a number of times here. This is going to be a house and it's still going to be a house, and it's not going to have any external change made to it.
Okay, Councillor Smith.
Yes, I really like the fact that you're enterprising and you want to do something in the neighborhood, but you know, there is a lot of commercial property. You know, like, why do you have to have a residential house? And that, it seems to me that you've been operating for some years at other locations, I gather, or working for somebody.
Renting.
You could have got somewhere else. I mean, there's plenty of commercial property in the city at other locations that would be ideal for your operation. And I don't know why you want to go ahead and take a residential house. It seems to me that...
Good question.
It just seems to me that house was built as a residential house. And I can consider certain home occupations, but, you know, when I see a list of massage therapists, it's not crucial that you be there.
Okay, you've got a question?
Okay.
The question,
Why did you choose
that?
Go ahead.
Presently, right now, we are working on a residential house, which is a clinic. And many of our patients tell us that they love the fact that it is a house. It's very relaxing and soothing when they come in through the front door. And they love that feel that they get as soon as they walk in the door, which is why we've been told by them is that if we were to ever consider moving, they would hope that we would purchase a house and do the similar thing as opposed to being in a commercial building, which is very doctor office-ish, not as relaxing as what a house can offer.
You don't believe that you can make a commercial property very homey and friendly? Which like a home?
Really,
of course you can. I just want to say that when I did notice this house for sale, I was driving down Grant. There's a Canadian Auto Workers, the Shell station. Then there was a rustic realty, this little frontage of the house, then a church, and a hydro substation. I was like, well, everything was commercial and business, so I thought that it would fit right in along with the whole strip of ground. It's a busy through street. It was propped in the middle of other big commercial properties, so that's why I noticed. And I said, wow, that would be perfect. That's a perfect location. It's amidst the other bunch of commercial buildings. That's why I must say it stood out to me.
Okay. All right. And I guess we're supposed to be talking about rebutting what the other people have said rather than getting into a whole new discussion.
No.
So that's just to keep that in mind.
I think my question was very similar to Councillor Smith's about purchasing. And I mean, I know of two different businesses that called me about purchasing on Grant to turn a house into a hairdressing salon, or another one was a retail gift store. And I advised them up front They have to go through the process, and I couldn't, nobody could guarantee that everything was going to work out, and it was basically the caveat emptor phrase, and they both backed away. They weren't prepared to gamble. So I guess I'm asking you, you were aware of the...
As well, what happens to the property if it is a C1, potentially as this goes through, and then what happens if it doesn't become a C1 property? And certainly, C1 zoning would mean a commercial business could be run in there. It doesn't mean it has to be. Someone could purchase a C1 zoned property, and if it's a house, the way it's a house, could live in it and actually reside in it as well, too. So that would be my view of that. And if it doesn't get accepted to the zoning, as I think Glenn has indicated, R1 zoning for A would mean rental property of that nature. So, as any people buy residential properties and rent them to, you know, university students or whatever.
And I guess one of the thoughts on your why buying a house, if when you drive down Cordon, if you realize how many businesses are actually the house behind it, then we're changed. So that's why I thought it wasn't out in left field for a thought. It's huge right down for it. A lot of business front just need to come back. They were a home at one time and they've just been resolved. So I just want to say that that's what my thoughts were.
All right. Are there any? Okay. Is there anything else you wish to say in response to the things that were said by the liberal arts?
We're
kind of running out of time, too.
Yeah, I was just saying the Pandora's box with regards to opening it up to anything, that certainly wouldn't be the intent. And if it was to the request of the city and zoning, it's definitely, however, the city sees clear on that. If it's a massage therapy business, it may be sold as a massage therapy business or even limited. I don't see that being something that really, that would be my rebuttal to that, is that the intent here isn't to open up that for any other use other than what our businesses are expected to do. Certainly the fund comply with what the city, because it says there's a,
I do want to make sure that we're clear on how many therapists there are going to be there at one time.
14 cars, 7 plus 7, that's not going to happen. That's a rebuttal right there. Yeah.
There's three rooms, so there can only be three massage therapists working at one time. And if there's a shift change, and I hate to call it a shift change because it sounds like we're a 7-Eleven, we're not going to be a 7-Eleven if another therapist gets one quick. Well, then they no longer, and people can see that because they're one for the day. So there will only be three therapists at one time, and three people seeing those therapists at one time. I think the numbers are getting a little large by the end of the
month. Harvey, turn off your phone. Okay. I know. Well, let's just hear the delegation.
Another
question after. Is there anything else you would like to add?
I think for rebuttal, no, that's all. I think that we can kind of share with our stuff, and certainly accommodating families and neighbors is certainly my priority.
Thank you very much for your presentations. Thank you. Yeah, and okay, the question about C1 zoning, did you see that?
Yes, I'll just get a full copy of that. Actually, you can have this copy, I have that. Thank you.
That if it is zoned C1, there's 41 permitted uses and 20 conditional uses. So, it's just a permanent rezoning change that we are deciding today, just to be clear.
So it become 41 regardless, different businesses if they...
There's 41 different types of businesses that would be permitted. Is that correct? Or is there some things that you've said are not permitted?
Yeah, it's a little bit different. Under the, because this was...
I'm just reading from the report.
6400, there are that many businesses that would be permitted under 6400.
Oh.
But then what will happen once it's rezoned according to bylaw 6400, it'll go to C1 under that bylaw, and then it'll be done by the public service, changed into
the new
C1
zone.
For two.
But what's the new zoning bylaw say? Is it anything?
It's about 14 permitted uses. I could read them out. Okay. Single family dwelling, two family dwelling, care home, neighborhood rehab home, single room occupancy, library, post office, carrier depot, protection and emergency services, community gardens, park, plaza, square, playground, daycare center, gallery, museum, animal hospital or vet clinic, kennel, restaurant, office, personal services, medical, dental, optical, counseling clinic, retail sales, a utility facility, a minor one, and a contractor's establishment.
Okay, and so we're rezoning this property not for these particular for this particular use, like they would have the ability to do their use, but if they were to move on, other people could do any of those uses that put, without even without a public hearing. Just to lay it out as to what this means. Okay. Councillor Leipzig, we're on item 4, the rezoning. Would you like to move the report being taken as read? I think it's the first. A receipt of public representation. Included? Is that the first
thing?
Oh, the first thing is the report be taken as read. Is that all those in favor opposed carried?
I move that receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor opposed carried.
And if I can comment here.
What you could do is you should move, make the motion of what you're recommending the next one, and then you can comment on your recommendation.
I move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service not be concurred in and forwarded to the standing policy.
Okay, and then before I call the question, you can comment if you like.
The reason I'm doing this is it's extremely difficult for me. I can tell you this is probably the most difficult thing I've had in many months here. I respect very much what you're doing. I am also very concerned when I get all these sheets of neighbors and your immediate neighbor and people now being in opposition to this. So I also worry with the fact that once the zoning is changed, that's it. There's no guarantee of what would be there, and it's a huge gamble. I know, and I was mentioning two people I knew who wanted to buy. I also thought of another one. I just threw out to Councillor Gervasi on the corner of Stafford and Dorchester. There used to be a real estate sign saying possible rezoning too, and that's been replaced because there were so many complaints from another Fred, Curry.
That's right.
And he brought it to our attention, and when I went to look, it was misleading advertising saying this could possibly be changed. Sure, it could possibly, and who knows, but I'm very sorry. I just I think so much of the neighborhood being against it, I just can't support it.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Leipzig. So the motion is that we not concur with the recommendation
and that the application not be proceeded with.
And that the application not be proceeded with?
Nothing.
Any further discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Carried?
That the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All those in favor? Opposed? Hearing? Carried? Please note that the committee has made a recommendation on this matter, and this is the rezoning. We have two more. And that this will now proceed to council. No further representations are permitted, and all persons registered for the public hearing will receive notice when the matter is considered by council.